Let's here realize the importance of the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of Christ. That all things that we do, whether in word or deed, are all to be done in the name of Jesus Christ. As we hold fast the Word of life. Without the Word of God, it would be impossible to be saved and impossible to go to heaven. I have one final lesson in this mini-series for the young people to encourage them to study and know their Bibles. That if you're old enough to understand what I'm saying today, you're old enough to take personal responsibility in your very own life without your parents asking or reminding you, whether it be to read your Bible or it be to study your Bible lesson or to have your Bible or to be ready for Bible class. Young folks, you don't need to be reminded. You're old enough, you're mature enough, you're big enough to do this for yourselves. And I want to encourage you in these things today. In this mini-series of lessons, we first of all talked about remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Not that anyone here has forgotten their Creator and God, but an encouragement to remember God. This is the formula for success. That if we do this, God will be on our mind all of the time and we'll be having godly things upon our mind, considering God in every decision, worshiping and glorifying Him, and simply being a faithful Christian. And as Solomon encourages, don't wait. Young folks, don't wait. Do it today while you are young. When you get old, your days will be evil. They'll be gloomy and dark. Life won't be fun anymore. You won't be strong and brave, but you'll be fragile, and life will seem like it is vain. Remember to number your days. Young folks, just like the rest of us, you're not exempt from death. And your life could be over today. This could be the last day of the rest of your life. Of course, that life would be an eternity, and it certainly would not be here. And there is a day coming when it will be too late, for it's appointed to man to die once, and then comes the judgment. And after death, it's too late to make changes here in this life. The solution is fear God and keep His commandments, reverence and respect Him, and obey Him. Then last Lord's Day, we had two lessons, glorify God in your body. We were talking about our physical bodies, that we're joined to Christ and we belong to Jesus, and our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so we had a few suggestions from the Word of God last Sunday night. Take care of your mind. Choose your friends wisely. Take care of your bodies. Adorn your bodies with godliness. Do not engage in sin, and behave like a Christian. Well, if we didn't have the Bible, what do you think it would be like? I know I'm asking you to imagine this and to speculate. What it would be like if we did not have the Word of God? You know, we would not know who is responsible for our existence, for humanity. We would not know who to worship. We would not know who God was. We perhaps would be like the Athenians, and they were worshiping some idol to the unknown God because they didn't know who Jehovah was. And the Apostle Paul said, "Let me tell you about Him." And he preached about God. He preached about Jesus, and they knew the One who is responsible for all creation and for their very own existence. And they could worship Him. We wouldn't know about God's love. Could you imagine God having sent Jesus to die upon the cross, and we didn't know about it? We didn't know about God and what He did for us, and we didn't know about Jesus and what He did for us. And certainly we would not know the commandments of God. And we would not know about salvation, and so we could not be saved. We would not know about salvation, we would not know how to be saved, and none of us would want to be saved. Because we wouldn't know we had a Savior. And we wouldn't know what we needed to be saved from. Not only would we not know about heaven, we would not know about hell. And we would not know about the judgment. Can you imagine going to judgment and being totally surprised? You didn't even know there was an afterlife. You were just living for today, this life, and gratifying the flesh because that's all you knew about. And then to find out that there is such a thing as eternity, and everlasting life and everlasting damnation. And that you had to stand before this one, Jesus Christ, the one who died for your sins, and now you had to stand before Him to be judged, and you didn't know anything about it. Well, what do you think it's like for someone who doesn't read and know the Bible? It's really the same way, isn't it? Someone who doesn't read the Bible may have heard a little something about God. They may have heard a little something about Jesus Christ. They may know what other people say regarding salvation, and there's a lot of things that people say. But they don't know what God says. They may have heard something about this judgment thing, and they may have heard something about hell and eternal life and heaven, but really don't understand it and aren't motivated in any real sense to get there. Really, they're just walking around pretty ignorant of all of these things. And don't you know, there are many in the world today who know practically nothing about this book, who don't know what books are in here, never read, or if read, never studied, not to know what it says. And don't you know that they will get to judgment? And as Jesus has told us, that we'll be judged by the things that are here, by the things which He has communicated by His Word, and they're going to be thoroughly shocked with the things that are going to occur. The sad thing about it is, it doesn't have to be that way. God has given us His Word, and we can know His Word. We can have a knowledge of those things. We can be saved, and we can serve Him the way He wants to be served, and live in heaven with Him forever. But listen, if God tells us anything, He tells us this: if you don't know My Word, you'll surely be lost. Young people, today I want to impress upon you the necessity for you to study and know your Bible. You may say, well, I'm not going to know it as well as some preacher or some elder or some deacon or some Bible class teacher, and that's true. But it's still your responsibility to be studying and to be learning and to know for where you should be in your progression of faith, to know those things from the Word of God. And certainly, I used this illustration last week. Brother Dennis Trask came up to me and said, I hope all the young people don't think they're supposed to go out in their cars and kill people. If the state of Florida will allow you to drive an automobile that is several thousand pounds in weight, knowing that with the slightest mistake you can kill people, don't you think you are responsible for knowing what God says in His Word? I want you to look at a few passages from the Word of God with me this morning. Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 and 6. Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 and 6. Listen to the word of the Lord, O sons of Israel. For the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land, because there is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land. Now I want you to notice what God is saying here. God is saying, listen, Israel, I have a case against you. There is a problem. I have a problem with what you are doing. I am going to make sure that you are punished for the things that you are doing that are wrong. And it all gets to this. There is no knowledge in the land. Look at verse 6. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of God, I also will forget your children. There was no knowledge in the land. And God says, look, you are destroyed because of that. You have rejected knowledge. Was it that God had not told them? No, God had told them. His word was there. They did not care about knowing it, about learning it, about remembering it. You could say, well, that was the fault of another generation. They had lost the word of God. Do you know what? Subsequent generations were still responsible. Although it had been lost by another generation, the other generation was responsible for knowing that a word exists and to seek it out and find out what it says. And can't you just see? As we look into the world, and there are so many who have no idea, earthly idea, what God says in His Word. Indeed, Bibles are in their houses. Bibles are on their coffee tables. Indeed, some of them carry back and forth from church, back and forth from church, back and forth from church. And still do not know what it says. Oh, they may know what somebody says is in there, but they don't know what it says. I'm not saying this to look down on anyone or to criticize anyone. But I'm saying this to evaluate ourselves. Do we take our study, our learning, our knowledge seriously? Say, Alan, well, someone could spend 12, 14 hours a day studying the Bible and still not know it all. Well, that's true in a very technical type of way. But to be able to know just the very basics of what it says and the lessons that are there and the simple plan of salvation and to turn over in the simple plan of salvation to know this is what God has promised. This is what I must do to be saved. This is what my friend must do to be saved. Why is it that we can know all of these technical things? Josiah asked me a technical English question the other day. If you're in eighth grade English or something, you probably don't think it's technical, but it was to me because I long forgot that stuff. Why is it we can remember and learn all of this stuff in school? And we can take these very difficult tests, algebra and geometry and calculus and trigonometry and physics and all of this stuff. But sometimes there's a lack of just basic Bible knowledge. Have you ever seen a textbook at school this small? No. They're getting so big today they have to be on CD because the students can't carry them anymore. They're too big. And yet they can learn what's in that book. Young people, you can know what's in this book. And you can read this book. You could read this book 12 times a year if you wanted to. It's not a question of ability. You know things are a lot more difficult than this. It's a question of desire. Notice the children of Israel were destroyed because they rejected. And if we are not studying and learning our Bibles, just not the little bit we do here, if we're not studying and learning our Bible, we are rejecting knowledge. And the same thing is going to be true for us today. We're going to be destroyed. Turn your Bibles with me over to Romans chapter 10. And I want you now to look at the Jews. Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. The Apostle Paul cared so much about those of his heritage, those who were Jews. And he wanted them to be saved so badly. Here, for those who rejected salvation of Christ, he pinpoints the problem. And notice what he says, Romans 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God is for them is for their salvation. For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. You see, the Jews were very zealous about God. And there are people who are very zealous about God today. Perhaps some of us are very zealous for God. We get all excited when we talk about God. We're all motivated. We have all kinds of feelings. We work so hard with some of the things that we do. And we're so diligent with some of the things that we do. Perhaps we're just like the Apostle Paul, who was out persecuting Christians, so zealous to drag them into prison, so zealous to see that they died, thinking he's doing the right thing. He was zealous. He was on fire for God, but not according to knowledge. You see, being excited and being emotional and being outdoing all these things is meaningless if it's not according to what God has said. And so it's a responsibility of every one of us. Young folks, do not trust a word I'm telling you unless you personally go to the Word of God and you find that it is the truth. Do not believe it. What happens if I tell you wrong? You're going to go to hell because of me. And I'll be there with you. Are you going to risk your soul on what I'm up here saying? I hope not. Study your Bibles. Know that it is true, and because you know that it's true, because God has said it, then believe it and do it. And be zealous for it. Also, let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And I want you to notice a distinguishing characteristic regarding those who are lost for eternity. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8. Here speaking of when Jesus Christ comes again in flaming fire with angels in flaming fire. Verse 8, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God, to those who do not know God. How do you know God? 1 John chapter 1. You have to go to His Word, you have to believe what is there, and you have to do what is there. Those are the people who know God. Here Jesus will come dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. How important is it to know your Bible? I'll tell you how important it is. It's the difference between heaven and hell. That's the difference. And young folks, I'm really impressing upon all of us here this morning. But young folks, this lesson is for you. I don't want you to walk away from it. Yes, you're young. Yes, you have the responsibilities of a young person. If you're 7 or 8 years old, you have certain degree of responsibility. If you're 12, 13, 14, you have more responsibility. If you're 16 years old or 15 years old out driving a car, you got some more responsibility. If you're out of high school, you've got more responsibility. But I don't want anybody to leave here today saying, I'm not responsible. Because we are. The difference between heaven and hell is knowing what this book says. Why? Because if we don't know what this book says, we can't do what God says. And if we don't do what God says, we're lost forever. Look also in verse 9. These will pay the penalty of eternal damnation away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power when He comes to be glorified in His saints on that day and to be marveled at among all who have believed, for our testimony to you was believed. Remember, as Dan read this morning, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Christ. There's the only way to believe is this right here. This is it. If we're not into the word of God, if we don't know what this book says, then we don't believe. We can't believe. We don't know what to believe. and certainly will be lost. But I want you to notice that with knowledge of God's Word, I talked about the negative for a while. And now I want to talk about the positive. Turn your Bibles, first of all, over to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. And I want you to notice that it is a distinguishing characteristic of God's people, Christians, that they know God and they know what He says in His Word. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 31. Behold, days are coming, as Jeremiah now is prophesying, looking forward to the day of the church. Declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they will all know me. This is a distinguishing characteristic of Christians. Every Christian knows God. Every Christian knows what this Word says. Now, do they all know it? Do the little ones know it as well as the older ones? No. And young folks and old folks, I'm asking you to decide today, how well should I really know the Word of God? Do I know it as well as I should? For my age, for my maturity, for the length I've been a Christian. Distinguishing characteristic of the children of God, they all know God. There's not one who is a Christian we can say, hey, you need to know God. Now, why is that? That's because until you know at least the very basics of what this book says, you can't be a Christian. It's impossible. You see, with the Jews, it was different. You were just born to be a Jew. You didn't have to know anything about God. You were just born to be one. Various times, some of them didn't, almost nobody knew anything about God. That's not the way it is with Christians. Christians know God. Every single one. We know who God is. Turn your Bibles also over to Colossians chapter 1. And we've talked about this from time to time. We've had a whole lesson on it not that long ago. Colossians chapter 1. I want you to look just for a moment at the benefits we derive from knowing the Word of God. Verses 9 through 11. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. By the way, knowledge there is epigenosis. You remember we've talked about that a number of times lately. That is not only the book smarts, but that's applying it to our life so it brings spiritual strength. So that you will walk in a manner worthy to the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to the glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience joyously. What a mouthful. Where do we as Christians receive the strength that we need? It is in this book. I want to tell you something, young folks. If you're not studying this book for yourself, if you're not going to your Bible classes to learn what you can learn and to become a better Christian, if you're just sort of ignoring all of those things, you're going to be spiritually weak. Not only is that what the Bible has said, but I'm sure that probably all the adults here today can testify to that. And we can't wait until we are down and things are so bad and we are so weak and our spirituality is practically non-existent and say, oh, I need to go to the Bible. Oh yeah, that'll help. But if we were into the Word of God, we probably never would have got down there to start with. Strength from the Word of God. As it performs its work in those who believe, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Someone says, how did God do that? Get into the Word of God and you learn it and you start doing the things that it says and it's performing some work in you who believe. I don't know how it does that. There are some things we just don't know. But I know this, that it does it. And God does it. I know it because He said it. It's like we were studying about Joshua today. Be strong, be courageous, go over there and get that land. Everything's going to be all right. You'll be successful and be prosperous. God says, this is how you know it, says, I commanded it. And God's word does not return to Him void. Why? Because that's the way He made it. And I don't know how it works. I don't know the functions of the brain and how all of that occurs. God doesn't explain it, but I know it happens. Young folks, do you want to be strong? I know you do. Do you want to be strong in the face of peer pressure? Do you want to be strong to make the right decisions? Do you want to be strong to stand up under trials? This is the answer, and it's the only answer that you have. So I'm encouraging you today. Am I saying that you're not studying the Bible? No. Am I saying you're not serious about learning the Word of God? No. Am I saying that about anybody here? No. But the fact of the matter is, including myself, we all can be a little bit more diligent with these things. We can all take it a little bit more personally and be more responsible than we have. Turn your Bibles with me over to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Now I want you to notice how this all works in regards to your salvation. 2 Peter chapter 1. Lord willing, all of you are going to have a long, long life. And young people, you're going to be on this earth for a long time. Medical technology is just increasing exponentially. I would not be surprised, young folks, by the time you get ready to die, people are living to be about 120. I wouldn't be surprised. You've got a long ways to go. You're going to reach some bumps along the road. Things are going to be difficult sometimes along the road. You've got a long time before you depart from this life. But I want you to notice this. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge, by the way, as we've talked about before, that's epigenosis. The knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything. Now He's going to explain what this divine power is towards us. It's from this book right here. When we take this book, we know it, and we put it to work in our life. When we know it, that's gnosis. When we put it to work in our life, that's epigenosis. And it makes us strong. And he goes through the eight Christian graces, verses 5, 6, and 7. Now look, when we put all these things together in our life, when they're working together, verse 8, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things are short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about His calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. So what's Peter here? What's his encouragement here at the end of his life, knowing that he's going to be departing soon? Knowing that the ravenous wolves, chapter 2, are coming to devour the flock of God and were already present. You need to be in the Word of God and growing, and you need to be strong because, man, there's some really tough things coming, chapter 2. The devil is already working hard to steal you away from God, and he's going to be working harder and harder and harder. The roaring lion seeking whom he might devour. Now, but I want you to, the end of verse 10, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. Stumble means you'll never fall over in the ditch and not be able to get back out. Doesn't mean we're not going to make mistakes. We're going to make mistakes. But when we make mistakes, we're going to have the strength, the character to correct those things and to move on with life. But I want you to look at verse 11 because that's really the main point for this lesson. For in this way, what way is this? Knowing what the Word of God is, put it to work in your life and it makes you strong. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. I want to contrast this with what Jesus taught. Jesus said there's two ways in life. There's a broad way that leads to destruction. There is a narrow way that's difficult. And that leads to life, and there are few who find that. Now, Jesus is talking from a very broad world perspective. And he's saying, look, most people are going to take the easy way. The easy way is sin and eternal damnation. That's the easy way. Most people are going to take that. Most people aren't going to take the hard way, the narrow way, the difficult way that leads to life. Few people are going to do that because it's hard. You have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow after Jesus Christ. It's not always easy. But now Peter is speaking totally differently now. Peter is talking about Christians. Peter is talking about people who are dedicated to God. Peter is talking about people who know what God says and they're applying that to their life. And they're not compromising. They're not going to stumble over in the ditch where they can't get out. Yes, they're going to make mistakes. And they make them, they get up and they go on with life. And we all make mistakes. But he says in this way, entrance into the eternal kingdom of God will be abundantly supplied. Abundantly supplied. Get the imagery. Jesus said over here, very broad worldview. The broad way is destruction. The narrow way is eternal life. Many people go this way. Few people go this way. Peter, Christian. Know the Word of God. Putting it in practice to your life. This entrance into heaven isn't some just very, very narrow, straining way. It all changes. Totally changes. He says entrance is going to be abundantly provided for us. I want you to notice that this way that is so narrow and difficult, when you become a Christian, you get into the Word of God, you apply that to your life, it opens up. And it becomes abundant. Why? Because of God and His Word and the power that works within our lives, those who believe. And so it just opens up for us and it's abundant and it becomes so much easier. Over here with the worldview, those who refuse God, who reject knowledge, He is not on their side. For them, eternal life is so difficult. But for us as Christians, it's abundantly supplied. God opens it up. He makes that which was so difficult now much easier because He is the one who strengthens us to do His will. And so, young folks, you need to study and know your Bible. So that you have the strength which God gives for an abundance entrance into His kingdom. Well, it takes a certain attitude to come to this point, and I want to talk about this attitude. A few passages in Proverbs. Turn your Bibles over there, if you would, please. Proverbs. And Solomon here is very concerned as he is writing these things regarding wisdom and regarding knowledge. And it takes a certain attitude, it takes a certain character about a person to want to put God in their life, to put Him where He belongs, to have His Word in their life, and to put it in practice. Proverbs 2 verse 3. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. We have to have the character. We have to have the attitude to search out for knowledge. We have to have the character to be like the Bereans. Paul came and preached to them. They didn't just say, oh, Paul said that, that's fine. If I was living back there and I went to preach to those people, they wouldn't say, Alan said it, that's what I'm going to do. It's not that way. They went and they searched diligently. And that's the same for us. We must have this burning desire to search and to draw out and to learn and to know. I want to know. My soul is at stake. I want to know. So we must have this desire. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 10. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 10. Take my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choicest gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. What do you want more than any material possession? If someone said, you have one wish for anything you want, you can have whatever you want. I can't give you eternal life. That's the one thing I can't give you. But wish for anything you want, what would it be? $1 billion, $1 trillion? Or would it be knowledge of the Word of God? That's the attitude we have to have. Solomon is saying, hey, these other things are fine. He told us that. In Ecclesiastes, God gave all these things for us to enjoy. But it's not what we have. It's not what we need to desire and want. We desire knowledge. More than $1 billion or $1 trillion, we want to know what God says. We want to understand what God says. We want to know the Bible. We want to know what it says. And we want to be able to apply that to our life and live that way. That's what we want more than anything else. You know, the older I get, the more I appreciate the blessing of health. Beth and I and our family, we're pretty healthy. It's not to say we don't have our little troubles. But we're pretty healthy. Some people my age, they've already departed life. Some physical ailment or something such as that. And it used to be, when I was young, I wanted money and things more than health. Today I want health more than money and things. And that's the way we have to be as Christians. I want my spiritual life more than money and things. To have my spiritual life, I have to know about God. Turn your Bibles over to Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12 and verse 1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. Yes, the word stupid is in the Bible. The word stupid is there. In our society, the word stupid, I mean, that's just one of those words you teach your kids not to say. But it does have a proper meaning. That's someone who knows better, but he doesn't do it. And Solomon is telling us here that we are to desire and love discipline and knowledge. Why is it that some folks don't want to know what God says is because, well, then they'll be convicted of the things that they're doing that are wrong. So we have to love knowledge. And we have to have this attitude that, you know, I want to know what I'm doing wrong so I can change. A lot of folks don't want to change. How about you, young folks? Do you know that there are some things you're doing wrong and you want to change? You just tell me what they are so I can change. Is that your attitude? How about the older folks? Older folks, excuse me. Is this your attitude? You know I can do better at some things. Just tell me what they are. I want to do it. Well, this is the fact, young and old. Every one of us has some things we can do better. We just need for God to tell us, just to show us, just to encourage us, just to help us make the right decision, change a few things in life. But sometimes we don't want to change, do we? We're just happy the way it is. We don't want to change. I might have to give something up. I really like that. I don't want to change. But this has to be our attitude. Now, if it's not, we're not going to be really crazy about knowing what this book says. I know I have some shortcomings. I know I have some things I need to change. I know I can be better with some things. God, just show me what they are. God, just show me how to change them. God, just show me how to be a better person. Just show me, because I want to do that. I want to change. That's got to be our attitude. And don't you know so many in the world today don't want to change. They want to stay the way they are. So they don't know God's Word. Don't want to know God's Word. Because then they'll be convicted of sin. Let's not be like that. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, the last scripture for you this morning. We also have to have an attitude of love. When we have knowledge all by itself, it's destructive. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1, "Now concerning things sacrificed to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge makes arrogant, but love edifies." Our attitude with knowledge is that I want to know so that I personally can do something with myself. I want to change. And I want to help other people too. Not to be arrogant. Turn your Bibles to chapter 13, verse 4, and Paul says, speaking of love, he says, "Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant." So we have to have the correct attitude. What would it be like if we didn't have the Bible today? What would it be like if we didn't have the Bible? We'd all just be sort of going through this life for a little while, and then we're just lost to hell without hope. If you're not studying your Bible, that's the way it is for you. If you don't know your Bible, that's the way it is for you. Just as if it never came, that's the way it is. But for the people in this audience, yes, we can do a better job. I hope you're stimulated to do that. Yes, we can be a little bit more diligent. I hope you're stimulated to do that. Yes, we can take a little bit more personal responsibility, and I hope you're stimulated to do that. But I don't want you to leave here without understanding the good too. Because you are a Christian. You do know God. We all need to know Him a little better, but you do know God. You're in His household. You're a member of His family. Knowing God and His Word makes you strong, and you're able to go from day to day to day to day, all to the glory of God, praising Him with your life, and most of all, an abundant entrance into the eternal kingdom of Jesus Christ is provided to you because you know your Bible. Let's commit ourselves to know it a little bit better and to do the work we need to do to know it a little bit better. Thank you for your kind attention. We're going to extend the gospel invitation. Number 347 is the song that we will sing, "Who Will Follow Jesus?" If you do know God's Word to the point of understanding what He's asked you to do to be saved, you can obey that gospel today if you're not a Christian. You can believe in Jesus, repent of your sins, confess Jesus before men, and be baptized today. Be a Christian, a member of the household of God. Perhaps you are a Christian and you've strayed away from the things that God has taught us to do. You know the Word of God. Indeed, you're not going to stumble as fall in the ditch and not be able to get back up. But you do need to correct it, make it right. If we can help you to do that today, we'd be happy to do that. If we can help you at all, I want you to step to the front as we stand and sing.